the head coach of your Toronto Raptors, Mr. Dwayne Casey. Coach, how are you, sir?
Hey, Dean. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. How are you? You enjoy your time off this summer? Are you refreshed, ready for another grind?
Ready to roll, ready to go into the grind. And guys have been working hard for about 2 months now. And excited about Wednesday night coming up and ready to roll.
Now, take us through. You got news yesterday. Jared Sullinger is out, and he was an acquisition in the offseason to replace Bismack and eat up some minutes and play on the glass. He could shoot the three. So he was an intriguing prospect to me, much like Bismack was last year. Different players, but take me through exactly what's wrong with his foot and what happened and what's going to happen today.
Well, he had been having soreness in his foot. And so, you know, he's trying to let it heal and trying to rest it. And it just continued to be sore. And they went and got different opinions, different x-rays taken. And, this is kind of the layman's view of it and explanation of it. I'm not a doctor. And they found a small crack and felt like that by putting a screw in it was more preventative, that it wouldn't get worse, that type of thing. So, unfortunate for Jared, because he was going to be such an important piece, but it's a great opportunity for other players, for Pascal Siakam if we decide to start him, and Patrick Patterson will be able to take more minutes and have more of a role, and other younger guys, Jakob Poeltl will have an opportunity because Jared was going to play some backup five in that situation. So Lucas Nogueira and Jakob Poeltl will get opportunities to play some backup minutes behind JV. So other opportunities, one man, you know, next. I don't really like saying the term next man up because it means something bad has happened, but it's an opportunity for other players to step in and do their job and have an opportunity to compete and help us win.
Now, take me through what you've seen from Pascal Siakam and Jakob Poeltl to this point in the preseason and maybe some games early on. How have they progressed, and where do you see them fitting in with this team?
Well, the thing with Pascal and Jakob, they're two young players that, you know, they're going to make mistakes, and like I tell them all the time, the NBA is a game of mistakes, and the key is you got to make those mistakes hard and try not to make the same one over and over again. Learn from them, and especially for young players, and that's one thing Pascal does and Jakob does. They make plays, they'll make a mistake, but then they do a great job of recovering from it, and they do it hard. And they're quick learners. They pick up things quickly. Pascal's athleticism at the four position will be important for us because it allows us to do some switching and defensively, and he can guard different positions from that standpoint. So he gives us some flexibility and versatility. He's one of those players that, you know, we don't have to rely on for a lot of offense, a little bit different from Pat. And then Poeltl is a very, very versatile big man. He's got great hands, excellent passer, excellent feel for the game. A little bit different from Biombo in the fact that he's not overly explosive in the paint, but he knows how to play, and his anticipation and basketball IQ is off the charts. So that's going to help him down as he continues to get experience and grow into the NBA game.
Dwayne, obviously winning is first and foremost, and obviously playing your veterans, you'll do that. But how tough is it to play those veterans and then get your young guys some minutes and manage both winning games and then trying to help the development along?
George, that is an age-old problem. And fortunately, we've been able to do that. You know, last year we had to play young guys because DeMar Carroll missed so many games, and so we were forced to play younger guys, and we were fortunate enough. Guys did an excellent job of stepping in, young guys stepping in, and win games at the same time of getting Norm Powell and Terrence Ross extra minutes and for those guys to grow. So it's a fine line between developing and getting those guys experience in winning, and that's very difficult to do in any sport, whether it's hockey, American football, or whatever the sport is for young players to come in and get you ready to compete at a high level or at a playoff level because, you know, they have no measuring stick or no point of reference to go from. So it's tough, but our guys have you know, our system kind of fits our star players, our veteran players, and the roles that we really put those guys in are very support roles, where they don't have to think a lot, do a lot, but just make sure they stay in their lane and do their role, and it can help us.
Intriguing the way the last season ended, specifically for one Jonas Valanciunas, who really broke out against the Pacers in the playoffs, unfortunately injured in Miami, so you didn't see a lot of him. But, you know, he had come into his own and was just a force to be reckoned with. Are you expecting more of that from him, or are you expecting that progress that he made down the stretch and into the playoffs to continue?
Dean, that's a good point. You with JV, he did a good job. I mean, he was playing some of his best basketball right before he was injured. And so, you know, but he didn't bounce back and didn't come back in the Cleveland series, which was unfortunate. But we expect that out of Jonas this year. He's got to come in and do a tremendous job of rebounding, protecting the rim, protecting the paint, communicating in our transition defense. All those things, he's got to come back and do an extra special job for us in those situations, because he's a hub for us. And, you know, over the past few years, he's been the young guy, so to speak, but now he's got some experience and experienced a lot of things in the league. So he's one of our many veteran players right now. So we expect him to come in and give that leadership in the paint, that communication, that toughness that we need to protect the rim and to protect the paint, because it's a physical game. The NBA is a very, very physical game, and that fits Jonas, the way he plays, his body style, his body type. So he's got to give that to us in the paint.
So last year you finish off Eastern Conference Finals. It was a whale of a season, 56 wins, really set the city on fire. You end up losing to the eventual NBA champions in a stunner, as they went on to win, even though being down 3-1. And so the offseason, you get the tinkering, and Kevin Durant now finds himself playing for the Warriors, and you still got the Cavs in the Eastern Conference, Warriors in the Western Conference. A lot of people saying the NBA is a two-team league. What do you tell your players, or how do you feel about the narrative that really it's up to the Golden State Warriors and the Cleveland Cavaliers in an NBA final?
Well, the thing about it is, you know, the games are played on paper. You know, played on the court, not on paper. I'm sorry. And I tell the players that all the time. You can't, if we did that back in 2011 when we won the championship in Dallas, we wouldn't have beat the Miami Heat, because everybody had them anointed that they were the champions, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. They were going to win the championship. Why play the games? Because they're destined to win. Lo and behold, it takes them a while to get together, to learn how to play with each other. The chemistry wasn't there, and we were able to win the championship. So you play the game on the court, and if you went in the season saying, hey, so-and-so is going to win the championship, why play the games? And so as an NBA player, you've got to go in believing you can beat a team. Now, whether realistically or not, whether you're talented enough or not, no, but you've got to believe that in your heart. And when you walk on the floor, you've got to believe that they put their pants on just like you do, the old cliche, and compete at that level. And again, you never know what happens. You know, injuries happen, sickness, whatever. You know, bad team chemistry, those things happen in this league. And so you can't just anoint somebody. And again, it's great for the fans. It's great for, you know, for basketball writers to write about, you know, how great those teams are. And it's good, you know, but you still have to go out and play the game.
Coach, do you think the Raptors are a championship quality team? Do you think that you have just as good a chance to win an NBA championship as anybody else?
Well, you go in every season, you know, believing that. That's your goal, going in every season. You have to be realistic, you know, and again, you know, we have some question marks. You know, how are we going to play in on the defensive side of the ball? How, you know, Jonas is going to bounce back now with, whoever starts at the four position, how that's going to play out. So we have some question marks, but we're building a culture and a program. And we've made advances every year to get closer and closer and closer to that ultimate goal, and we're still in that process and building that program. And Masai and Jeff and myself and ownership, we all have a vision of where we want to go, and that goal is to win a championship. Now, whether that's this year or the next year, I don't have a crystal ball, but our goal this year is to get there. Whether we're ready or not, we got some things to work out and to build and to continue to get better at before we get there.
Over under on how many technicals you might get this season?
How many are you going to pay for me? I'll answer that. If you pay for them, I'll get them.
Zero. Then it's zero, Coach.
No. I tell you what, I'm trying to be better at staying off the officials. It's very difficult to do for me and my personality once the game starts, but I'm going to try to do a better job. Because officiating in the NBA is a very difficult thing. I spoke.
That's a really nice way to say it, Coach.
They had me to speak at their training camp this year. I went to their training camp, and of all people, I got a $25,000 fine in the playoffs, and so they invited me in to talk about a coach's outlook toward officials. And I said, do you guys really want to hear how I feel about you? So, but it was good. I was diplomatic, and I told the truth. You know, the one thing that you want from a coach is feel like that you're getting a fair shake. I mean, and the fact that, it's a game of mistakes. You're going to make mistakes, but don't try to convince me certain things didn't happen when I saw it with my own eyes. And, and then I watched videos and the game before and saw the same thing. So those things are human nature things that you try to rationalize as a coach as the game is going on. But again, I'm going to say this, it's a very difficult game to officiate. You try to do it in practice every day, and you'll see the NBA players are some of the best actors there is in the world, and they can fool you. And so the officials have a very difficult job, and again, it's a very difficult game to officiate. But I do think we have some of the best officials in the world, but I'm gonna try my best to stay off of them this year.
Who's the best actor in the NBA, Coach?
Whoa, that's a good question. You'd have to go with some of the top scorers. You know, the guys like Steph Curry and Durant and some of those guys, Dwayne Wade and, LeBron, some of those guys who have the ball so much. You know, those guys know how to do it. You know, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry do a great job of drawing contact and drawing fouls in the league. And they demonstrated it last year, but especially DeMar, I think he was third or second or whatever getting to the free throw line during the regular season. So, DeMar does a great job of creating. So you have some guys that do a great job of creating contact. Harden in Houston is one of the hardest guys to guard because of his strength and power and ability to draw contact. So there's a lot of excellent players in the league who can draw contact, who can make sure they sell the call and sell the play. And so that's what makes officiating so, so difficult, and that's one job that I wouldn't want to have.
Coach, as always, wonderful to have you. Really appreciate taking time. I know you're gearing up for Wednesday's game against the Pistons, but thanks for doing this. Best of luck, and look forward to another successful season. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Dean and George.